when we redo the services now at alumni weekends, we always start with "Here We Are," which is "Here we are all together as we sing our song joyfully."
Here we are all together as we sing our song joyfully.
In the mid-60s at St. Andrew's School in Suwanee, Tennessee, the Rejoice Band and Choir brought a new and exciting sound to Sunday chapel services. Soon, that joyous sound traveled well beyond the mountain as the group toured all throughout the Southeast. Over the course of the show, you'll hear interviews with key members as they reflect on their experiences and discuss the long-lasting impact Rejoice made on their lives. And thankfully, the Rejoice Band and Choir recorded two albums, The Saints Rejoice and The Saints Rejoice Again. So now, more than 50 years since they were recorded, you can experience that joyful sound wherever in the world you are right now. You are listening to Here We Are All Together, a Rejoice documentary produced by the student DJs of WMTN, The Voice of the Mountain at St. Andrew's Suwanee School. To start off the show, DJ Monarch spoke with one of the band's original members, Sam Magruder, from the St. Andrew's class of 1969, who let us know about the early years of Rejoice and how it formed.
Hello, my name is DJ Monarch. I'm here with a member of the Rejoice Choir that used to play at St. Andrew's. What's your name?
My name is Sam Magruder, and I graduated from St. Andrew's in 1969, and I was one of the original members of the Rejoice band.
What year did the Rejoice Choir start?
1966.
Oh, wow.
And so back then, if you picked up a guitar, you could be in the Rejoice band. And I didn't do it. We had a rock and roll band on campus called Gallopin' Bob and the Riders. I know you probably play all their songs all the time. And I'm saying that with the tongue in cheek. But we were the local band and we played in Suwanee. And I was a member of that. And they wanted me to be in the Rejoice band. And I said, no, it's too hokey. I'm not interested. And they had probably five or six guitars and some of them didn't know music. And it was kind of fly by night. And so they realized very quickly that they needed to have two guitarists, a drummer and a bass guitar. And they made everybody else singers and they joined the Rejoice Choir. And so there was the Rejoice Band and the Rejoice Choir.
Cool. So what instrument did you play?
Bass guitar.
Okay. Okay.
And I've been playing it since seventh grade. Okay. And I was in several rock and roll bands back in the early 60s. We played Beatles music, and that was the big music back then. So
cool. Nice to meet another St. Andrew's bassist. I play that as well. So like, what was it like being in the Rejoice Choir in its early stage? Like, how did like practices go? Did y'all just perform on campus?
We practiced in the old school building, old school gym. That was wide open, so they let us practice in there. And so we would be rock and roll, and then maybe one day we would be Rejoice music. We would practice there, but it was just the Rejoice band that practiced.
Cool. So did y'all just perform at school?
Through fall, midwinter, we were just at the school. You know, the Suwanee has a seminary there, and every Sunday, the back of the church was packed with visitors from the seminary. People wanted to come here because St. Andrew's back then, I don't know what the services are like now, but they were all sung. It was very high mass where we had bells and incense. And to have the Rejoice Mass is like the praise and worship music that you hear about today. But this is going back 57 years. So it was pretty aggressive and pretty futuristic. And so it was kind of exciting. We would have visitors come up to us after the service and ask us questions and talk to us. And when we first started, we were kind of getting notoriety. And then we went to big places like South Pittsburgh, Chattanooga, Nashville. And then we went on our big tour the next year where we went to Atlanta, Jacksonville, Ocala, Florida, Miami, Florida. I've got an article right here where we toured that St. Michael's in downtown Charleston, South Carolina, and we were on television.
Oh, wow. Do you have like any stories from like touring with the band?
I remember down in Ocala, Florida, Camp Fitch sang in the choir, and his parents have a house right on the Freshwater Springs there. And so we had a jam session where we just played music out on the lawn, because once again, we were the rock and roll band, but we were also the Rejoice band. So it was, you just take our hat off and say, "Now, okay, now we're the rock and roll band." So we played music in the afternoon and we would rehearse some songs. And then we'd go down to Miami and we played outside at a concert there. And then on Sunday, we would do the service.
So what faculty member kind of like started the Rejoice Choir?
LeGree Van Ness, who sailed on the America's Cup with Ted Turner, very famous. He won the America's Cup when he did that, and he was going to St. Andrews at the time. As a teacher, he taught history, and he was a battle axe. You either passed his course or you flunked it, but it was very, very hard. And as a student in his class, I didn't get any favors whatsoever. And so he was our faculty advisor. And then we had a couple other teachers that would help us when we go on trips. And then we had Father Gregory, or Brother Gregory, who was Order of the Holy Cross, that was there to help us supervise. But basically, LeGree Van Ness, because he played banjo, he's on the album.
Cool. What was your favorite song to play?
Kyrie and the Nicene Creed. They were kind of driving songs, and the Nicene Creed had a big drum roll. And I remember it, St. Michael's in Charleston, South Carolina, when we played the tom-toms around to hear that, to hear that right in the middle of the Nicene Creed, everybody in the church turned around and looked at us. And it was funny to have, we were in the balcony and there was probably 200 or 300 people in the audience. And they all turned around with their mouths hanging open. So they were shocked.
Let's take a listen to Rejoice's version of the Nicene Creed off of the Saints Rejoice, where you can hear faculty member LeGree Van Ness featured on the banjo.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. Not
Next, DJ Wilcon is joined by Dean Rucker from the class of 1973, who provides more historical background and also gives us a glimpse of what it was like to be a boarding student at St. Andrews.
Hey, everybody, this is DJ Wilcon, and I'm here with Dean Rucker discussing the Rejoice Choir. How did it come to be? How did Rejoice come to be?
Well, Rejoice was a movement, a musical movement that took place in 1964. A priest, young priest then, by the name of Herbert Dreisel, wrote music and lyrics for Rejoice. And his idea was that it was a different musical approach to bring young people into the church and also make it appealing to them, to a younger set. So, and of course, using instruments like drums, guitar, piano, and other instruments.
Nice.
And it found its way to St. Andrews by 1968 or 69. The genesis for that was a man named Legree Van Ness. He was part of the faculty there at St. Andrews. And he brought this. And if you've ever seen the size of the band and choir on the back of the first album, it was a lot of guys. It was an all-boys school then.
I wanted to ask you what boarding was like.
I loved it. It was just... You had great friends. If you got bored one night, all you had to do was walk down the hall and knock on somebody's door. They had a guitar. If you carried a guitar along with you, we'd start playing songs. We would play and play and play all the time. And it kept us out of trouble, too.
Do you think that's how you got associated with the Rejoice Choir?
Yeah.
Was there anything in Rejoice or just St. Andrews in general that affected your path afterwards?
Absolutely. First and foremost, my two best friends in life are Mark Kelly and Pat Gate.
Oh.
And being at St. Andrews, I found my best friends in life. The experience of being on the mountain, I never had felt as much freedom. I'm not sure all students would say this about going to boarding school, but I found a ton of freedom, and particularly creative freedom. I've gone back to the school many times, and every time it's a better experience every time you go back. It was always a welcoming school. Coming from Texas, I had never seen the scenery like it is on the mountain. It's just gorgeous.
As we conducted our interviews, the name of one song came up again and again.
My favorite song out of that album was one that was written by Dean and Pat, the Magnificat.
Dean Rucker, my dear friend, wrote a new setting in the Magnificat.
That is a gorgeous song.
Here is Dean discussing how he created the music for the Magnificat.
Well, the only piano on campus was in the Spencer Room.
Okay.
I would probably go there every evening after supper and just play and practice and work on stuff. And I was getting interested at the time. This was when I was a junior in writing music. And I'd always loved the Song of Mary, the Magnificat. And I wanted to try to see if we could incorporate it into something a little bit more modern into the Rejoice service. So I was just messing around on the piano one evening, and all of a sudden a tune came to me, and I started playing it. And then I remembered that I'd always thought that the Magnificat maybe needed a more contemporary kind of thing. So I started playing with the tune, and it came together in about a half hour. And I sat down and wrote all the lyrics out. And but anyway, it was that kind of experience. It just kind of came to me, and I loved it. And it needed to me to be a very moving song, because it certainly is very moving words that Mary had, and as you'll find in the Bible. And so that was the inspiration for it.
And now, finally, off of The Saints Rejoice Again, here is the Magnificat.
Power, his eyes forever see.
Next, we will listen to a conversation between Mr. Brim, who we student DJs know as DJ Zaphod, and Patrick Gann, another member of the class of 1973. Patrick is an Episcopal priest and fills us in on what made the monks and faculty members ready to try something as revolutionary as Rejoice at St. Andrew's.
As we went on these trips, I realized how eager Episcopal churches were across the country to encounter this type of renewal mass setting. Now, you have to remember, this is the early 70s. The 1979 Book of Common Prayer has not even come out completely yet. There were trial books and so forth. So we were all still a people worshiping using a very Elizabethan prayer book, the 1928, across the country. And I believe that after Vatican II in the 60s and so forth, the Episcopal Church was beginning to come alive and saying, there has to be some more animated ways to worship. And so when we rolled into Memphis or into Birmingham or South Georgia or into Florida, where we were really well received in Coral Gables, the people were so expectant. They were so ready for this experience of a much more free-flowing, but still very artistic setting of the Eucharist. And that surprised me how much it meant to people. It just really, really surprised me how much it meant to them. So that was really an education for me, that people were eager for this type of experience. And I'm sure it's really influenced my own ministry over all these years. You know, good worship not only is comforting, intense in a sense that you come to worship expecting certain movements to be the same. But worship is also supposed to surprise you. It's supposed to take you to another place. When we read the Gospels and we read Paul's letters, we realize that the Lord and his apostles were always kind of throwing people a curveball to get their attention. So I believe good worship not only gives us the comfort of things that stay the same, but also very good worship takes us to another place. And when we did Rejoice, Stephen, it was truly a community effort. We still had the Order of the Holy Cross involved. So we had St. Augustine singing with his beautiful tenor voice. We had Father Sid Atkinson, who was the prior, celebrate the Eucharist. So you had these two monastics with you, one black, one white, that really represented the larger church and the more mystical side of the church. We had faculty members for whom this was important, and you had a lot of kids. I believe it, in many ways, put the school's best foot forward into communities around the country. They could see, wow, this is what a community of faith looks like when they step off the campus, you see?
Yeah.
You can kind of export that.
What do you think about the monks and the community at St. Andrew's? What do you think about that community made it ready for something like that, where you didn't get a lot of pushback, where it's something they were willing to do kind of with open arms?
You know, the monks, the Order of the Holy Cross were Benedictine, and the Benedictines and the Jesuits, the Franciscans, they're always kind of open to innovation. Okay. They're kind of the ground level of innovation. So if you came to the St. Andrew's Chapel back in the early 70s and late 60s, it had all these experimental prayer books that the church was floating.
Really? Just,
yeah, the most predominant one was the Green Book, but there also was the Zebra Book. And if you talk to anybody my age, they know exactly what you're talking about. Well, some churches just were, they thought that was like Darth Vader coming to, you know, visit. The monks really had a spirit of innovation and looking at new liturgies and so forth. And so did Father Martin. So we tried them. However, if you'll notice, most of the Rejoice Mass, if you listen to the old records, still maintains the words of the 1928 book for the most part. Another thing you need to know, Stephen, is that in those days, people from town filled the chapel.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because no one else was doing what we were doing. And so the chapel was full of townspeople we didn't know. And Father Martin always invited everyone to have brunch with us.
That's really neat. Okay.
Yeah. It was a very good way to kind of present our way of worship to the larger community.
Is there a particular song that you sang that stands out to you that was either a favorite to sing or that you've got any interesting stories about?
You know, They Cast Their Nets in Galilee was a song we sang fairly often about discipleship and about sacrifice. That song has really followed me around. And Brother Augustine always sang the solo. But it was an honor for me the last time we did Rejoice, I sang the solo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Not as well as he did, but I can sing it. But I mean, all the songs of Rejoice, if you were to strum up any of them now, I could sing them because they were just kind of in our bloodstream.
They're just kind of ingrained in you at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did good things for the St. Andrew's community and very good things for the people we visited.
Let's listen to They Cast Their Nets in Galilee with Brother Augustine's beautiful solo. Hear from Larry Robinson, a member of the St. Andrew's class of 1972, and Mark Kelly from the class of 1973, who joined DJ Sam I Am and DJ Hope on campus at the WMTN studio, who share a number of their experiences as members of Rejoice.
Larry, what piqued your interest in the band?
Well, for me, it was just so different. I came from a Baptist church background myself, raised as a Baptist, and so the services in those churches were very traditional, very, I'd say, solemn in a way, and the idea of coming to a church, and at that time they had electric guitar, electric bass, the drums, and banjo, with LeGree Van Ness, one of the teachers, playing the banjo. It was a very different sound. And as Mark mentioned, music that came from Godspell, Jesus Christ Superstar, and other contemporary sources. And I was beginning to play bass guitar, so I was very interested in becoming a part of that worship experience.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do as a kid, because you're in that rebellious stage, is go to church. But Rejoice Mass made people want to come to church because the music, and it's just such an uplifting thing compared to music that was written in the 16th and 17th centuries. I remember I came up here and interviewed, and they admitted me somehow by the grace of God. But we bought the album, and I got home and I cranked it up. And I was like, "This is church," and with a banjo. It was. It's a transformational experience.
Would you, Mr. Kelly, like to add something on, for example, your favorite song?
My favorite song is the Sermon, and it's a musical version of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's a very spiritual piece to me, because to me that embodies Christianity at its very core, and the words and the music just flow so. But one, particularly with our consumer society now, is do not be anxious, saying what shall I wear? Look at the lilies of the field as they grow. Solomon in glory was never thus arrayed. And the other one is, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? Look at the birds of the air as they fly. If they are so fed, what more are you of little faith?
Off of The Saints Rejoice, here is the Sermon.
Jesus went.
Like the Magnificat, another song that we've heard a number of times is Soul Sacrifice. Here is Dean Rucker discussing that song.
Oh, gosh. Well, one of my favorites is Soul Sacrifice. Soul Sacrifice is on The Saints Rejoice Again. And it was really a song that we used when we were dismissing everybody from the chapel at the end of the service. But it's a song by Carlos Santana, and it was played at Woodstock. So we had a great organist by the name of Mario Lightfoot. He could play anything, and he played this song particularly well. And then we had a really great drummer named Marty Huntoon, who I've been in touch with recently. If you'll listen to that record and listen to Soul Sacrifice, and when it comes to the drum solo, and then if you have access to a Woodstock album or the movie, listen to it, and you compare those two drumming events together, and I'm going to tell you, you'd be amazed. Here is a junior in high school who was drumming like a pro. He was really good.
And here is Larry Robinson with a story about recording the track for The Saints Rejoice Again.
Then the greatest pressure was Soul Sacrifice on the second album, because as I remember, we got permission to do that song right before we went to the studio, for one, because you had to get recording rights. And then right before we recorded it, we were told that we only had enough studio time to do one take.
Oh.
Yeah. So it had to be perfect.
Oh, no. It always takes me so many takes to record something.
So we get in there, and then we did the song. We did it very well. There's a couple little things in there a musician would notice. They went a little haywire, but we recovered. And then at the very end of the song, as we were ending that big chord, I meant to slide down on the neck, and for some reason, I slid up.
Oh, so,
and I was shocked. I didn't realize where did that come from? What happened? But it turned out well.
And now, here's Soul Sacrifice from Rejoice's second album. And be sure to listen for that bass slide at the end of the song. DJ Zeon and DJ V spoke with Robert Lundin from the St. Andrews class of 1974, who gives insight into Rejoice's tours of the Southeast, including the long bus rides down to Florida.
Hey, this is DJ Zion and DJ V, and we're here today with Robert Lindeen to talk about his participation in the St. Andrews Rejoice Band and Choir. So to start off with our questions, I just wanted to ask you, like, what we go through at school here is probably much different to how it was for you. We only have chapel every Wednesday, and then us boarding students have Compline. Was it like a different environment for you? Did you have chapel like every day, or was it a similar schedule?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I think they had chapel several times a week. Rejoice used to play on Sundays. We played on the Sunday service. And so I was actually a day student. So I came from Suwannee out to St. Andrews on Sundays to do the Rejoice. And I did that, you know, every Sunday for years. You know, I was totally immersed in it.
What is your favorite song with the band?
Well, my favorite song with the band used to be the Nicene Creed. That was one of the longer and more involved prayers that they put to music, and it was a good guitar. It was very interesting. It had some difficult chords in it and some difficult transitions. Yeah, that was probably the music I enjoyed most.
So we also know that as a band, you guys went touring and even went so south, you went to Miami. What kind of experience was that? Because we know you used to go to like churches on Sundays to perform.
Yeah, that was. And that was one of the perks of belonging to Rejoice, is that you got to go down to Miami. And so that was really exciting. And we all would get into a big Greyhound bus and they drive us down there. It was a pretty long drive. It was about day and a half drive or so. And, you know, they have luggage racks above the seats in a bus like that. And somebody would crawl into the luggage rack and lie down on the luggage rack like that and try to get some shut eye. And I remember going down there, and we were invited by a church in Coral Gables in Miami. And so that was really exciting, going to people's houses. And the house that I went to had a swimming pool, had a trampoline, and a couple kids that were our age. And it was really, really an exciting thing to do. It was going to Miami was the big highlight of the year. And I think the rest of the school must have been really jealous of us.
What is your favorite memories at that point when you play with the band in Miami?
I remember that we stayed. I was with a friend of mine named Wade Trauber, and we stayed with a pair of parishioners and their daughter at a very nice house. It was a beautiful house that they had. And we were gathered around the swimming pool. So Wade, myself, and the family's daughter, who was about our age. And Wade picked up the daughter and was holding her in their arms. And I went and I pushed them into the swimming pool and got them all wet. I remember that as a memory of being down in Florida. Yeah.
I hope this isn't too off topic with it, but in between like having classes and after school activities, how did you guys manage to fit like practice into your, you know, your schedule?
I remember the rehearsals were in the evenings, and gotcha. I remember we did rehearse several times a week, and then of course we played the music on Sundays, but that was pretty much ingrained in us. But I only played like classical guitar. I didn't actually play the electric guitar my first 2 years, but the last 2 years, junior and senior year, I played the lead guitar, and there were three of us in the band. So we were there every Sunday, and the entire choir was there every Sunday. I think the choir had maybe 20 people in it. I'm trying to remember, just about that many. Yeah. And the funny thing is, when I go back and I look at the music, I remember the melodies exactly, you know. And da 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 dum bum, you know, and the music is really just really ingrained in my mind.
So did the experience playing with the band have an impact on your life after St. Andrews?
Well, of course it did. And I know the biggest impact has been in the reunions. And we see everybody, you know, 30 years later, and we all like get to know each other again and recognize and see how people have changed and how they're the same and all that. And then we get into the music and everybody remembers the music.
Our next interview is with Sarah Stapleton, another member of the St. Andrews class of 1973, who joined DJ Sam I Am, DJ Hope, and I in the WMTN studios to talk about her experiences and the friendships she developed as a member of Rejoice.
How did you first get involved with the Rejoice Choir?
I was a day student, and there weren't many opportunities for day students to be involved with stuff on campus. There was no athletics for girls. And so I liked to sing, and it was fun and brought me on campus on Sundays and gave me time with a lot of other people.
So how was your, like, overall experience with it?
It was really important to my experience at St. Andrews. I had just arrived back in the U.S. from growing up in the Philippines and was in culture shock. And, you know, it was a few weeks after Woodstock, at the height of the Vietnam War, when the whole mountain went co-ed. So basically my entire world was in culture shock. And Rejoice gave me a group setting that I could be comfortable in. You know, the whole experience was great.
How does it feel like going to the reunions and seeing all of those faces from like so long ago?
It's nice. I lived out west for 20 years. Did come to a reunion for like 15 years. And I just happened to be in town during the reunion and came. And after that, when I moved back to Suwannee, Gaylene would come fetch me if I didn't come to the reunions. But she and Gayhan and Rucker and some of those guys, for whatever reason, I didn't show up. I'd hear about it and have to come. I mean, Gaylene is just so outgoing. She and I had completely different personalities. If we'd gone to a school where we were not the only girls, we wouldn't have been the friends that we became. But we spent time together in Rejoice, and of course we were roommates in Rejoice, you know, and so two very, very different people got to be very close under those circumstances, and she just doesn't give me a break. And the other thing that we did that was really important was the tours that we did. We went on bus trips to South Florida where we were on a bus for 15 hours, bunch of students. With people sleeping up in the luggage racks and in the aisles and stuff, you know.
Mr. Brown, we should do that.
We've had that on various climbing trips
right.
as well.
Yeah, so doing that, you know, and being in a public venue, I mean, we performed at the Coral Gables Episcopal Church. For these congregations, a rock mass was sort of an interesting concept. You know, rock was new then. And that's hard to comprehend. That period from 69 to 73 was such an upheaval in this country. I mean, it was right after Watergate. It was right after Woodstock. It was at the height of the Vietnam War. Electric rock music was really just kind of coming in and being a big deal. Pink Floyd was like revolutionary. You know, I mean, all these things, I mean, y'all cannot comprehend. And to arrive in this country in the middle of that and to come to St. Andrews the year that it went co-ed, the year the whole mountain went co-ed, you know, and to look back on that and realize, oh my God, that was a crazy time. It sort of sprains my brain a little bit. Otherwise, the rest of it was comfortable and camaraderie, and we got along. That was the amazing thing, if I think about it. A bunch of teenagers that were as different and from such different backgrounds as we all were, being so comfortable and tolerant with each other.
And now we get to meet her good friend, Gay Lyons, from the class of 1973, who joined DJ Wilcon and myself, and, among other things, told us about how Rejoice made their return to St. Andrew's Chapel decades later during Alumni Weekend.
Hello, everybody. This is DJ Wilcon and
DJ Moon.
And today, we are interviewing Gay Lyons from the St. Andrew's class of 73. As we know, you were in the St. Rejoice Choir. Could you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with that?
Yes, I was actually only at St. Andrews 1 year, my senior mm-hmm. year, 1972-73. But it was a very, very significant year for me. I was unhappy where I was, and I begged to go to St. Andrews and immediately felt welcome. I had found my people, and they're still my people. And the Rejoice Choir was one of the things that I got involved with. I actually was not accepted on my first tryout, and I ended up taking a back door in by trying out as a drummer. I'm a really awful drummer, but I play a little bit. But the leader heard me sing, and she said, "Oh, wait, no, I'd much rather have you as a singer. We'll find a better drummer," and they did. So that's how I got involved, and I loved it. And it's still a memorable experience. You know, we haven't stopped. We still have our reunions. And so it's still a very meaningful thing to me.
Yes. So you mentioned the reunions. What is that like, seeing everyone after all those years, getting back together to play more music?
Well, we had been seeing each other at reunions, but the idea of a Rejoice reunion came up this many years ago. This was when we were still having alumni activities at the Sewanee Inn before it was renovated. So we're talking a long time ago. And there was a band playing, and they took a break, and a bunch of the guys in our classes who were there picked up their instruments and started playing "Play That Funky Music, White Boy." And it was a group of the people who had been in Rejoice. And we said, "Oh my God, we need to get the band together again and have a Rejoice reunion." And it took a few years. The first one was at the 30th reunion of the class of 73. And it was a little rough that year. It had been a while since we had sung those songs. And after that first rehearsal, we decided we need to schedule even more rehearsals than we had previously scheduled. But it actually came together pretty well. That year, Alumni Weekend was still held when school was in session. And so we played to a chapel full of a lot of students who had never heard this before. And that was just a really wonderful thing to be part of, because we really rock that chapel.
Nice. That's really awesome. Do you have a favorite song that you performed? And which one was the most exciting that you did that you can remember?
Well, I remember them all. We just sang them 2 years ago, and we had a reunion. You know, I love them all. "Look at All My Trials and Tribulations," which is from the musical Godspell, which came out around that time, is a very beautiful song. But I got to tell you, the one that I enjoy the most, well, then there's "Prepare You the Way of the Lord," which is how we enter. But our recessional is called "Alleluia," and there is no more rocking song on the planet than that. I mean, we are jumping up and down, and so is everybody else when we sing that song.
And so now let's take a listen to "Alleluia," which served as the finale for Rejoice's performances.
Bethlehem, hallelujah, hallelujah, so that man would live on. birthday he did rise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, now he lives on board to ride. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody sing hallelujah, for the Lord is rich and it is true. Everybody sing hallelujah. Now we too can live unto hallelujah, hallelujah. Live in Him, lead all we do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody sing hallelujah, for the Lord is rich and it is true. Everybody sing hallelujah.
This is DJ Hope, and we saved a surprise for the end of the show. Next, you will hear a recording of our current chapel band at St. Andrew's Swanee School performing the hymn I Come With Joy. Mr. Bram wrote the arrangement and played guitar on the recording, which features Max Grubb, Annika Stefanut, and Sasha Kuryace on violin, Matty Vandeven on cello, Cat Carpenter on trombone, Andrew Galloway on trumpet, Mr. Bram, Louis Bach, Cat Carpenter, and Ella Johnson on vocals, and myself, Nadia Kuryace, on organ.
Thank you for listening to Here We Are All Together, a Rejoice documentary, a production of WMTN, The Voice of the Mountain. We want to say thank you to Mark Kelly, Larry Robinson, Gay Lyons, Sam Magruder, Robert Lundeen, Sarah Stapleton, and Patrick Gann for sharing their experiences with our DJs. The student DJs you heard in this show are DJ Sam I Am, Sam Weintraub, DJ Monarch, Parker Kowalski, DJ Hope, Nadia Kiritaya, DJ V, Han Hyung, DJ Moon, Lev Val, DJ Wilcon, Griff Wilson, and me, DJ Zion, Zuri Price. And as always, remember to keep your radio tuned to 103.1 and listen across the globe at sjsradio.org.